Hey guys, it's Kathy Conamurio from Crafty Chica here with another installment of Crafty Chica's Tips for Creativepreneurs. And I have a wonderful, longtime special friend with me, Vicky Howe. And you probably know Vicky, most likely know her from DIY Network, from Nitty Gritty, and her website. She's been doing all kinds of fun crafty living for about as long as I have too, enjoying life and doing what you love to do. And the reason why I asked Vicky to join us today is because she's done something really phenomenal recently. She launched her own web show called The Knit Show, and she did it through a Kickstarter, and you were very successful with your Kickstarter. And before we go into that, why don't you tell us, like, what inspired you to do The Knit Show and what exactly it is, and why did you choose Kickstarter?
Sure. So first of all, it's so lovely to be here with you as always, friend. And yeah, I think you and I started, you started a bit before me, but there were literally 10 craft sites on all of the interwebs when we first started. Yep. It was a totally different world. There was no such thing as blogs. Crazy where we've come. But I totally blanked on the question. Why did I start the show?
So
for years, you know, as you already mentioned, I've done other TV shows. And before that life, I was actually in production and television production on the other side of the camera. And so TV production is just, you know, my shared love with crafting. And so it's just something that I really am driven to do. And there just really hasn't been a place for DIY programming, you know, at the table as of late. All of the sort of television networks are focused on reality programming or home improvement, because the advertisers that's where the ad dollars are. And then the streaming services, the big ones, they're focused on those just like star-driven dramas that are going to get them the big rewards. I believe that niche programming is the wave of broadcast future, and that, you know, in another 3 to 5 years, that the Amazons and the Netflix of the world are going to trickle down to niche programming, and I want to be there to produce it. I want to have it there established. So that's really what kind of kicked me in the pants to decide to just sort of DIY my own DIY show. You know, I had all the experience, I knew how to do it, so really it was only, and now you don't have to sell it to anybody, you can put it up wherever you want and people will watch it. So really the only thing standing between me and that reality was the money. But ain't that always the way?
Yep.
So I looked into Indiegogo, I looked into Kickstarter, and ultimately I chose Kickstarter because I knew with my audience, there was a huge portion of my audience in the knitting and crochet world that wouldn't be familiar with crowdfunding at all. But Kickstarter is probably the most well-known name amongst the crowdfunding sources. And so I thought that would sort of give me a little bit of an edge, you know, just to be able to at least be able to use that term. And also, as stressful as it was, Kickstarter, unlike other crowdfunding, they are an all or nothing organization. So you raise all of the capital or you get none of it, which is really difficult, but it also means that there's no risk for the people that are backing you that you'll, you know, raise 25% of it and then put out a sub-quality product. It also really motivates you with the fear of the crafty gods to hustle. And, you know, we had 30 days to make our goal, which was $75,000. We made 110% of it. It was one of the hardest thing professionally I've ever done.
So what are your top three tips for getting ready to do a Kickstarter?
Yeah, definitely. So I learned so much about, so I went into Kickstarter. I did do research and I had a good idea, but what I didn't probably grasp that is the key for Kickstarter is that you have to have a plan and also be willing to change that plan at any time for promoting it again and again and again throughout the day. So just having like a scheduled piece of Kickstarter promotion, one per day, is not going to meet your goal. There is a reason that when the NPR stations do a fund drive, mm-hmm. they beat you over the head with
okay,
it.
Yes.
There is a reason.
It's just like pop-up windows for newsletters.
Absolutely.
People hate them, but that's the best way to get sign-ups.
Shows,
yes.
The data shows that pop-ups work. And for me, my data was the notifications that I would get for Kickstarter when somebody had backed $1. $500, $1,000, whatever it was, I would see them go down and then disappear if I didn't post something. So it kind of clicked to me like, oh, that's the reason that, you know, nonprofits are always asking, because it takes a lot of asking before it clicks into somebody's mind and then spawns them to act upon it. So you have to have 10 pieces to go every day. And that meant for us, that meant we were constantly creating new things. And we also watched what worked and what didn't work. Mm-hmm. We saw that the spoof videos were working. So within 48 hours, we created a Stranger Things spoof, turned it around and made it happen. And we were lucky because it was a production company, so we had the ability to do that. But you have to be willing to just on the go, just do
that.
So
you have to be fearless when it comes to promoting, because a lot of us would, like, say I have a class, I'm like, oh, I don't want to nag people too much, or I don't want to look thirsty with this, but
time.
You cannot do that. You really have to. Now tell me about the money. How do you choose the amount of money? Do you budget for overage, more than you need or less than you need, exactly what you need? Did you really run the numbers to know exactly how do we know what kind of number to come up with to ask for?
Well, let me answer that, but I want to go back to something that you were talking about right before about being fearless.
Yes, okay.
And because this is probably my biggest lesson throughout this was, for me, asking people for money to make, even though I knew it would benefit the community, it really is my passion project. It's my name on it. So mm-hmm. That's a vulnerability. And making yourself that vulnerable where people can literally watch whether or not people are responding to your dream, they can watch the numbers, is like being naked for somebody like
me.
So once you've committed to that, mm-hmm. Once you've committed to being naked, you might as well run laps. You might as well do
a
somersault.
Great,
you might as well jazz hand it up, because you either do it or you don't.
Yeah.
So you've got to be fearless. And you know what's interesting? I know a lot of people in the financial world don't get crowdfunding at all, because where's the return on their investment? And what I noticed is that the investment is emotional, spiritual. Mm-hmm. People want to be a part of something. And that's really what it's about. It's that emotional investment. Yes, it's also their $20, but they're a part of something. Their name is on the backer list of, on our website. They helped make something.
Yeah.
So even though you are making yourself vulnerable, you're also bringing people into your tribe. And so you have to trust a little bit. So now I'll answer your actual question. For me, so if you were going on Kickstarter to fund the writing of a book or the manufacturing of a product, mm-hmm. you would do the research and figure that out. For me, I went to a production company and asked them for just a basic, mm-hmm. Just a basic outline of what it would cost. We did not budget probably, we in no way raised enough money for what we ended up doing. Mm. I ended up partnering with a production company, so they took some of the burden, I took some of the burden, and we made something.
Yeah.
But we did it together, and it was a partnership. They wanted to be an episodic television. Mm-hmm. They were a commercial producer. I wanted to make this happen, so that worked. And that's my third tip, don't be afraid to be creative in your goal making, right? So for me, that was partnering with a company that there was something in it for them. Mm-hmm. The series probably would cost closer to $200,000 to make, because of the field pieces, which I think make the show extra special.
Yeah.
Because all of it's the editing, it's the editorial time that takes so much. But we made this partnership, so they have an investment there. Mm-hmm. Whenever numbers would go down for the Kickstarter, and I had to try and come up with different reward levels, but there's so many levels and I'm only one person and I'm still trying to fulfill them. And if you're listening to this and I owe you a Kickstarter reward, I promise I wake up in the middle of the night
it's coming.
I won't do it. But the great thing was there were a lot of companies that wanted to be a part of it, but they maybe didn't have it in their budget. And not just small businesses, big companies too. So I said, but their willingness to be a part of it and their want, to me, that was enough. Like, let's work it out. So sometimes that meant a company like Knit Collage or UU or Kristen Omdahl, you know, donating a certain amount of yarn for kits. And it and I called them flash rewards. Mm-hmm. And so we only had five, and they gave that. So they got a higher backer reward. You meant they got their logo here. They got this benefit. Mm-hmm. They got that. I got more people interested in, and the community got, you know, this partnership.
A cool show, yeah.
I also did the same thing with advertising. I had bigger companies that just didn't have that in the budget, but they would trade. They became a top tier, you know, backer, and all that means for, you know, $5,000 worth of advertising or whatever. Mm-hmm. That benefits me. Like, so it's about being crafty in every sense of the word. So don't be afraid to be creative. If somebody says, oh, we just, you know, we've done our annual budget, we don't have it. Okay. But you want to be a part of this, right? You see the value? Absolutely. I think it's cool. This is the, okay, what can we do? What can we, like, you know, and it's that willingness. And that's exciting because
anything goes.
Anything goes. Yes. You don't have to get it approved through 4, 5, 10 levels of corporate red tape. Like, it's exciting. It's hard. It's so hard. But something that's boundless like that is why we as creatives do what we do.
Yes.
Right?
I have always said, when you're creative, you will never be broke. You will never be without, because you're constantly coming up with ideas and solutions and things to generate new ideas, new activities, new income, new partnerships, all of that. It goes beyond what we do with our hands and what we make. It's the way that we think. And I love that in you, that you are so creative with, you know, making it a win-win for everybody. And that's what's inspiring to learn from, is you don't just give up. You don't just say, this won't work, or, oh, I tried. You pushed it all the way through. When I saw your Flashdance spoof, I'm like, she has committed to this show. Like, this show has to happen. Like, she's done so much for this. And it was so cute. Now, what happens now? Like, now that the show is up, is it, I feel like it's like, after you throw a party and the day after, it's like, whoo, now what do we do?
It sort of is, except for, you know, for us, we want to make more. I would love to executive produce other DIY shows and other genres to help other artists and crafters rise above too. Mm-hmm. So for me, there's a lot involved in that. That means that we have to spread the word. You know, people have to watch, so those numbers go up. So then, you know,
that's your success measure to work at a higher level.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you raise that sort of, like, you know, financial vibration, and then you attract whatever the next level is. So there's that. And also, we decided to release the entire season so people could binge watch to be competitive in today's digital world. That's awesome, but it's kind of like you kind of showed all your goods at once, right? So for me, it's coming up, you know, we recently did my first live video on YouTube. I do them on Facebook all the time, but trying that. I have some extras that I'm trying to work with different companies, because we're still fundraising for publicity.
Yeah.
We talked about budgets before. I didn't include it in the budget publicity. That was my bad. That was my learning experience, you know. So I need to create that, right? So it's that kind of thing, creating new content so that there's a reason for people to come back to the channel after they've binged watch.
You leave them wanting more.
And also, just, I want them to feel like it's a community. I want this to be their knit hive. I want them to feel like it's, I say that this project is for the community, by the community, and I want to nurture that in every way. So there's that, you know, and we're going to just see where it goes from here. There's a little bit of a willingness to kind of, I'm very controlling, so it's hard for me, but just to sort of, like, take a breath, like, do what I know how to do, but sort of let what's going to come of this.
And what would you say are things to avoid? Like, when you're doing a Kickstarter, what are some of the common mistakes that people make?
Just not being prepared, honestly. If you're working on a project or a product, like, not being able to fulfill. Fulfillment is the hardest part of Kickstarter. Well, raising the money is hard, but board levels, getting all that stuff out, is a job. So just knowing, like, just make sure that you know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. If you're a spreadsheet person, make one. If you have, like, if you like to color code things, color code. Figure out a system so that you can succeed at that as well. So really, you know, not being prepared to publicize, mm-hmm. and not being prepared to fulfill your awards are probably the two biggest sort of
awesome.
Mistakes.
Thank you so much for all this great insight. And where can we find you?
So you can find The Knit Show with Vicki Howell on our YouTube channel, which is just The Knit Show with Vicki Howell. We also have all of the downloadables at theknitshow.com. You can follow me personally at Vicki Howell and follow at The Knit Show as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. And don't forget, you guys, we are two women, living testament. You can make a living doing what you love to
Absolutely.
Do. And for us, it's making things and sharing it.
Absolutely.
So always remember that too. If you have something you want to do to make a living that you really, truly love, make a plan, stick with it, and follow through. Thank you so much for listening. And check out craftychica.com on all of the platforms around the interwebs. And I will see you guys soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.